Well, Corey Taylor is a celebrated novelist and screenwriter. Her first novel, Me and Mr. Booker, won the Commonwealth Writers' Prize, and her second, My Beautiful Enemy, was shortlisted for the Miles Franklin. Her most recent book, published just this week, is a very different sort of story. It's called Dying, a Memoir. At 60, Corey is dying of melanoma-related brain cancer. As she writes in the memoir, she now weighs less than her neighbour's retriever. She's now cared for by Karuna, which is a Buddhist hospice service based in Brisbane. And Karuna encourages each patient to write their own biography for their family. So Corey has been writing that as well as this memoir. She's talking to Sarah Konofsky. Corey Taylor.
I'd reached the end of various treatments. I've got melanoma and, you know, I'd been on various drug trials, and I was diagnosed 10 years ago, so I'm actually used to dying by now.
You're an old hand.
I'm an old hand. But what struck me in the medical system is how few people want to talk about death, even when you've got a mortal illness. And that actually gets to a level of quite, you know, quite an absurd level at some point, you know, when you realise that the treatments are no longer going to work and that often they're worse than the disease. You do know, you know, that this is going to kill you. And then it's really quite a struggle to find somebody who will talk to you as
really?
If that's a fact of life.
Because do you think doctors and nurses, the whole medical system is so focused on recovery, on healing? Or
that's a huge question. And I think there's possibly a sense that death is a failure of the medical system. And that might be quite a pervasive idea that prevents. I'm not saying that all doctors like this by any means. And it was interesting that I went back to my GP, who is not a cancer specialist, an oncologist, or, you know, is not invested in that, you know, idea of a cure or a treatment. And that he sees a wider range of illness every day, I guess. And he had always been quite receptive to talking about end of life. And so he was the one that suggested palliative care and, you know, said that Karuna was fantastic. And then I got referred to a specialist, a palliative care specialist. And actually, I hadn't even been aware that there was such a thing
as a palliative care
specialist. And then, so I sat with my palliative care doctor and we had a completely frank conversation about how I wanted to end my life. And once the truth is out, suddenly you're just released from all this cloak and dagger hiding from the fact. And, you know, it was the hour-long chat with this guy who's seen so many people die. And, you know, I've written about this in which I say I wasn't experienced in dying at all. You know, I was classic, I was typical of my generation and that my parents lived for a very long time. I didn't have a clue, you know. And then you're sitting with somebody, you're with people who've seen people die a lot, you know. And so you're drawing off their wisdom and their serenity about this.
It's really striking when you put it like that, Corey, because I think with other major life experiences, we do go to people who've gone it before. You know, before you have a baby, you talk to midwives, or you talk to your own mother or your friends, or, you know, before you get married, you talk about what other people have gone like. We're all going to face this event, but it's true, there isn't a tradition of talking about it. So that sense of aloneness and isolation must be really emphasised.
It's extreme. It's extreme, yeah. And you know, I mean, I'm relatively lucky in that I was able to navigate the system, but I just constantly think of people who are not able to navigate it for some reason or other, and they must miss out on this entirely. It's just very wrong.
Corey Taylor, you're a writer, a screenwriter, a novelist, an acclaimed one. What was the process of writing the biography like for you? Were you surprised by the things that struck you looking back over your life?
When I did the biography for Karuna, they have this marvellous thing where they have trained biographers. So this Karuna biography is a transcription of really our conversations, weekly conversations. And for me, I suppose because I'm a writer, I had rehearsed a lot of this story, you know, for my own work. So it didn't throw up those kinds of surprises. In fact, it was more of a challenge to me to get out of the habitual telling of the story and to find something else in there that might surprise me. And that happened a few times in that process of chatting with Susan Addison, who was my biographer, because she had had such an interesting life. And in fact, she had a knowledge of death beyond anything that I had. So I was actually learning so much from her. And it was a really wonderful sort of give and take. I then sat down to write a more personal work myself, which was dealing with things that I thought were unfinished business for me. And they were to do with, you know, my family and my parents and disputes that we'd had that had festered and gone on and on far too long. And I think often it's about forgiving yourself for things that you and I found that a very cathartic thing when I was writing the memoir, that, you know, you've behaved badly to people. Obviously, everybody has done that, and it's had consequences for them that you didn't foresee, and, of course, you regret those. And there isn't a great deal you can do about it, but you can be honest about it, I think, to the extent that you can be honest about anything, you know. I've been talking with my children about the book that I've written because they have read it now, and they say, you know, that's your version. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but that's all I can give you. I can't speak for anybody else. So you do your absolute best to be honest about what went down.
When you say that forgiveness, being able to forgive yourself is an important part, how do you go about doing that? Is it about facing up to things? Is it about talking to people that perhaps you've wronged? Or what's been the process for you?
It's a question of saying things that in a way that, oh, it's so difficult to describe. A lot of it was, it's so basic, you know. In a way, you're sort of forgiving your parents for even giving birth to you, because now you're suffering the consequence of that, which is that you've got to die, which is like the hardest thing you've ever had to do. And so you kind of start out quite angry, you know, why me? And you hold your parents responsible, you know, for that. And so a lot of the book ended up being about my parents, and in an absurd way. So forgiving myself meant forgiving my parents. And then actually the breakthrough I had with the book that I wrote was when I embraced all of it and said, well, that's the whole point, is that you're given this life, you know, which is the most extraordinary gift. You know, just be thankful for all of it. So it's an embracing of everything, even the bad bits and even the – in fact, I came out with a line that when you're dying – even the most unpleasant experiences you've had have this thread of this skein of gold through them, because they're part of your life, and that's the thing you're just about to lose. So how could you regret them? You don't regret any of it, really.
Well, it's a great attitude, isn't it? The celebrated novelist Corey Taylor, who at 60 is dying of brain cancer. And Sarah Konoski recorded that marvellous interview for ABC Local Radio a few weeks ago, and we'll put a link to the whole of the interview on the Books and Arts website. And the book is called Dying, a Memoir. It's by Corey Taylor, and it's published this very week by Text.
Want to hear about the best party in town this election season? It's a new podcast with me, Frank Kelly.
And me, Patricia Carvelis.
The Party Room, your essential guide to this federal election. Subscribe now. Simply search for The Party Room in your podcast app.
Or listen via the RN website, abc.net.au/RN.